Whether you're looking for answers to specific life questions or seeking to become the best version of you possible, welcome to the Mental Breakdown and Psych Reg podcast, where we offer insight, information, and strategies based upon research and years of practice as clinical psychologists. So sit back, have a listen, and get connected with our hosts, Dr. Bernie Wilkinson and Dr. Richard Marshall. And we're back. Welcome back.
Here we are. What day is it?
It's the last day of the week. It's Friday. And so today we're going to wrap up this week of discussions on
just
parenting.
A few more hours before next week begins.
With a discussion about developmental parenting.
That's right. It is time that we venture into this topic.
Right.
And do something about it. You and I have been discussing it for more than a year now.
Right.
Okay.
Right.
We've talked about it at conferences. We've mentioned it at some presentations and workshops that we've done. So it's really time to open this one up.
Yes. And what's interesting is that, you know, we sort of danced with this a little bit when we wrote the first version of our parenting book back in 2012. Right. We danced with it a little bit that, you know, this idea that the needs of a parent change over time.
That's
as
right.
The child develops.
That's right.
We need to do different things as parents.
Mm-hmm. That's right, because the way our book is set up is that we start with infancy.
Right.
And then we go through these four developmental stages.
Right.
The last chapter is adolescence.
Right.
Okay, and what you do with a teenager is very different than what you do with an infant.
Right.
Okay.
Right. And as we're restructuring to do parts 2 and 3 of the parenting book, we're structuring those, and actually we started structuring it this way before we really sort of formalized some of these ideas in those same developmental categories. So we have those same four, where we have infancy, early childhood, elementary school years, and then adolescence.
Teenagers.
And so we have this sort of structure because there are pretty clear, and it's fascinating how it happens that, you know, when you look through the research literature, these developmental stages reappear over and over and over again, whether we're talking about Piaget's cognitive stages of cognitive development, whether we're talking about Eric Erickson's stages of social-emotional development, or we're talking about just general behaviors and all that we see over the spectrum of childhood. These four age groups remain pretty constant, you know, within a couple of years or so.
That's right.
I think there's a couple that have it broken up into five. They sort of separate middle school.
Early teen and late teen.
Right.
You can look at the teenagers as early teenagers and older teenagers.
Right.
Okay. And there's some people. In some ways, that distinction is useful.
Yeah.
In other ways, it isn't.
Yeah.
But, you know, some people make that distinction.
Because, you know, I was talking about all the psychological and learning theorists, but biologically, these four areas remain pretty constant with the, you know, and it sort of argues the point of one adolescence with of course, puberty as being the start of that change. So, so what we're going to talk about today is this idea of developmental parenting. Now, if you look at developmental parenting on Google, you're going to find all kinds of different things where they're talking about raising young children and raising children in foster and group homes and things like that. But what we're talking about here with our concept of developmental parenting is the idea that, again, as your child develops, you're going to have to change the way that you parent them.
That's right.
You can't be the same from day one to day 1,000.
That's right.
It's not going to be the same.
Right. And there's an overarching principle that we talk about, and it is you move over the course of a child's development from birth to, say, 18 or 20. There is a movement from attachment parenting to detachment parenting.
Right.
It's essential that you attach to your child. In the first few years.
Right.
But over time, you should be moving to detachment parenting, where you can disconnect and you're no longer necessary.
Right. Yeah.
And so it's a gradual transition of you backing away and giving them more and more privileges.
Right. Right. Yeah, I had a discussion with a parent about this a couple of days ago, and the parent was saying, "Oh no, you know, he's a teenager, so I have to really be involved to make sure he makes the right decision." I said, no, that's not
what you need to do. That's right.
You have to back off. He's going to make mistakes. Mm-hmm. He's going to need your help in recovering some things.
That's right.
But he's got to explore these things on his own.
He has to. He's teenagers are going to begin to separate from you naturally anyway, because it's a normal part.
Because that starts at two.
Right. They're going to start at two.
Right.
But they're really going to kick it into high gear when they hit puberty, mm-hmm. okay? And they're going to begin to separate from you anyway.
Right.
So this is something that you should be doing together. They want to separate. You have to allow them to separate.
Right.
Okay.
Yeah.
If you resist that, I think we mentioned in an earlier podcast that children are wired to be independent seeking.
Right.
Okay.
Right.
And you can't. I don't think you should prevent. I don't think you should try to prevent it.
Right.
You know, you can, of course, but. Not a good idea.
So as we said, during those first couple of years, the idea is developing a firm attachment, a secure, what they call a secure attachment. And that's where the child is confident that you're going to take care of their needs and meet their the necessary things that they need for survival.
Right.
And that attachment, well, we could spend an entire day talking about attachment theory and the role that attachment plays on the development of personality and the interaction of attachment with temperament and all those kinds of things. So we won't do that here.
Right.
But the idea is that, you know, we have to have a nice secure attachment during those first couple of years.
That's right.
During early childhood, we start to have that separation.
Mm-hmm.
And what our goal here is to allow our kids to become socialized. And so they have to be interacting with other people, they have to be engaging with other children, they have to have those experiences.
That's right.
And so what that does is that begins the idea of external influences, and we have to adjust as parents.
That's right, because once they get to that preschool and school age, once they enter that other world, there are going to be other influences.
Right.
And we might be the primary influence for a time, but we are not the only influence.
Right. Yeah, right. So once they, like you said, once they enter school age, now we're talking about your child has to be able to recognize that there are other experts in the world.
That's right.
You know, early on, you're the expert.
Right.
But that changes as soon as they start school, because now the teacher is the expert.
Teacher.
And we hear it all the time, right? Well, that's not the way my teacher does it.
Right.
That's not what she
that's
said.
That's not what the teacher said.
And we have to respect that as parents.
That's right.
Now, the teacher may be wrong.
Mm-hmm.
Could be, but we have to know how to communicate that. We can't just say, "Oh no, that teacher doesn't know what she's talking
about."
That's right. Because that's sending the right message.
Right. Because in the end, we do want our children to respect their teachers.
Right.
Okay. And it does them a disservice.
Right.
For parents to criticize the teachers, especially at a personal level.
Right.
A personal or professional level, it does the kids a disservice because life is going to be so much easier if they get along with their teachers.
And I believe that it is in your child's best interest for them to have a bad teacher at some point. They need to know what it's like to have somebody who maybe they view as not being fair, or somebody they view as being very strict or very rigid in their expectations.
Right.
Because I think that they... Because that's going to be one of their future bosses. They're going to have a boss one day who is rigid and unreasonable, and they, you know, the earlier we can learn how to deal with some of that stuff, the better. And so, as parents, we got to let them experience that.
Better that they experience it while they're still with us than after they leave us.
Absolutely,
we can be there to pick up the pieces.
Absolutely. So now, throughout childhood, school age, you know, certainly other kids are going to serve as influencing factors as well. But then once we reach adolescence, the
game changer really begins. Right.
Because not only do we have the significant influence of peers and teachers, but we also have the influence of hormones.
That's right.
That's fun stuff. It calls for some exciting times in homes. And so as parents, this is where we're detaching. We have to start to separate. We have to pull back and allow them to experience some things. Mm-hmm. We have to allow them to make some decisions on their own. Safe decisions, not decisions that are going to be permanently disfiguring or anything like that, but certainly decisions that, you know, that are going to allow them to explore who they are, mm-hmm. sort of their identity, and that mm-hmm. you know what, how they want to express themselves.
Right.
We're not talking about tattoos and
When they're teenagers.
Right. Right. We're not talking about those kinds mm-hmm. of things, but we're talking about just some sort of room to grow.
Right. Right. As I would say, as teenagers, a couple of things are going to happen. One is they're going to separate.
Right.
Separation is inevitable.
Right. It's going
to
happen.
It needs to happen. Mm-hmm. Okay. You shouldn't stop it.
Right.
They need to be able to separate. They're going to become more independent.
Right.
They're going to become more opinionated.
Yeah.
And they're going to push back a little bit more.
Yeah.
Okay. Because they're becoming independent.
Right.
Okay. And as they move away from you, you have to back up and let them move away from you.
Right.
Okay. Because now they have to make a bunch of mistakes. They made a bunch of mistakes when they were 5, 6, mm-hmm. and 7. They made a bunch of mistakes when they were 8, 9, and 10. Now they're going to make a bunch of mistakes at 13, 14, and 15.
Right.
Okay. That's an appropriate time for them to make those mistakes. Right. You don't try to engineer a mistake-proof childhood.
Right. Yeah. It's just not going to... Because remember, you are not going to be a perfect parent.
That's just not possible. That's right.
And so you have to let them experience some of those things because it's through those experiences that they're going to learn who they are, what they are,
right.
and where their position is in life.
That's right. There are going to be disappointments. There are going to be shortcomings. Eventually, they're going to hit something. I know some children who can say, in all honesty, I never experienced disappointment until I was a college sophomore.
Yeah. Okay?
That's when it finally, organic chemistry or something.
Right,
they
right.
took some course. Or they finally had a relationship that they did care about that the other person ended. Okay,
right.
They were very successful all through middle school and high school, and it hit then. So we inevitably encounter life's disappointments.
Yeah. It's gonna
better
happen.
That they encounter them while they're still with us.
Right.
Okay.
Yeah.
But they have to be able to talk to us about it.
They have to. And right. that's going to come through not being judgmental and allowing them
impunitive.
Room and, mm-hmm. and things. So,
right.
Yeah. Awesome. Yeah. All right, there's a lot more to talk about with this, and we're gonna go back and as we get through the next couple sections of our book, we're gonna be talking about it a lot more,
mm-hmm.
And we may even go back and rewrite the primary introduction to
right.
the book to kind of include some of these things because
right.
this is really critical stuff. So,
mm-hmm.
yeah, all right.
more on this later.
Yeah, yep. absolutely. So,
okay.
that's it for today. So, but before we go, for our UK listeners, remember that we have the Lumi Body Clock
yes.
Contest going on. You can go to the show notes and click on the link, and it will give you the directions and things to do, very simple things to do, to enter into the contest so that you can win a Lumi Body Clock, which is a very cool alarm that wakes you up with light,
mm-hmm.
the way that nature intended.
You don't use an alarm clock, do you?
I have one set, but I usually wake up
yeah.
around the time.
Because you and I have been waking up about the same time every day for years, so you don't need a clock. But I can't imagine having an alarm clock go off every morning. And this Lumi is so cool.
It would be very cool.
It takes the place of that.
Yeah.
What a great idea.
Yeah, so. Absolutely. So, also,
if you're in the UK,
look
at that.
It's just for our UK listeners to check that out.
Mm-hmm.
Also, if you haven't seen any of them yet, make sure that you are following us on YouTube so that you can keep up with our 13 Reasons Why live events. Mm-hmm. We just did one.
Yeah.
If you're listening to this the day that it comes out, we did one yesterday evening on the evening of May 18th.
Right.
And that is, we did tape 3 for that show, which was episodes 5 and 6 of the Netflix program. But follow us there. Go there to YouTube, subscribe, and of course you will see the entire schedule, because next week we've got another show that
That's
we're
right.
going to do, another live event. I think it's going to be on the next Wednesday night, which should be the 25th. We're going to be talking about
mm-hmm.
tape 4, which is going to be episodes 7 and 8.
Wednesday night.
It's going to be the next Wednesday night, right?
The 24th.
The 24th, sorry. Mm-hmm. But the schedule is in the show notes of those YouTube events,
mm-hmm.
and you can check it out, because
right.
we would love for you to be there to chat with us in the YouTube chat,
mm-hmm.
and join in our conversation as we review this critically acclaimed. I don't know if that's a
and controversial.
Controversial is probably the right,
right.
word.
But it has been. Well, I don't know about critically acclaimed, but it has become popular.
Right.
And controversial.
Yes.
And
yes.
so we want to go through it carefully.
Yeah.
Judiciously.
Yeah. and informatively.
And get people involved, get a conversation started.
Absolutely. Okay. So, all right. So join us for that. All right.
All right.
So that's it for today. Until next time, stay happy, stay healthy, and forget to be afraid.